Hi there, we really hope you enjoy this teaching from the Message Trust. To find out more about all the exciting things we're doing, check out our website, message.org.uk.
Wow, good morning. So good to be with you this Tuesday morning. I can't think of a better thing to do, and my Tuesdays are definitely not as exciting as this. Well, I was preparing for today, and how interesting is this? I could not get away from Book of Galatians. Just could not get away from it. And I had message one, message two, message three, and I just felt the Lord bringing me back to Galatians. And then you got up. And so we must be onto something here. Amen? Can I just say first and foremost, what an amazing video that was posted from the last prayer day. Dave, talents I never knew about. Music. Songs, that was just out of this. Is he here today? Yeah, you are here, right? I saw you earlier on. That was just absolutely amazing. Well, if you don't know me by now, I'm Yael. I'm 33 years of age. Can you believe that? Now, that's the moment in the room when you go, no, you're not. I married an older man. A lot older. When me and Christian met, I was 18. I was fresh at the Bible school at Life Church, and Christian was a youth intern. Christian was an intern for Steve Gamble, as you know him. And I was an intern for Charlotte at the time. And the funny thing was, Christian, I always knew the date and time that Christian would be in. It was Tuesday mornings. And he would always come, and he would always wear a shirt that matched his eyes. Can you believe that? Now, whether that was on purpose or not, I don't know. But every Tuesday morning, Christian would be there flirting at reception. Now, for all you single girls out there, it's one thing to like a guy who's just, you know, handsome and funny and this, but there's another thing to fancy a guy who's part of a bachelor's pack. Do you know what I mean by that? There's a group of five or six of them. They huddle together. They sit together. They wear the same aftershave. They pray the same prayers. Now, for those of you who work in office with Christian, he has stopped wearing aftershave since that day. How many years ago was that? A lot of years. But we've been together for 15 years, married for 12. And those of you who work in MEC, this went differently in my head. I thought I'm going to get a big cheer saying me and Christian be married for 12 years because you guys work with him every day. Yeah? And you know how easygoing he is, how he lets things go, doesn't have high standards at all. Yeah? Well, in the little time I have, what an awesome worship time that was, by the way, as well. That's just, I think, an anthem of our generation, isn't it? Good, good Father. How awesome it is to sing that. How awesome is to sing that to the world, that we have a good Father. That we don't have a Father who's horrible and annoying and mean, but we have a Father who's good, who gives us perfect gifts. What an anthem. And this morning, I just want to talk to you a little bit about freedom. Galatians, what an amazing book, and what a book that's so challenging in the world today. But there's something about freedom that I want to share this morning, whether it's just for one person or two people, or maybe for all of us collectively. I just could not get away from it this morning about freedom. And at the start of every year, I'm one of those sad people who has a New Year's resolution. Not necessarily, I'm not going to say whether it's fulfilled by the end of that year or not, but I have a New Year's resolution, and I make Christian and our closest friends sit down, and then we write down the best things about the year gone and the things that we look forward to. Now, you can just imagine how excited Christian is at the prospect of that. But there's something about taking the year and writing it down and really listening to what the Holy Spirit wants to say. And I've learned to listen now. So in year 2014, there's a verse that came into my heart, and it was hope deferred makes the heart sick, but the tree of life is a fulfilled longing. And I thought, oh, what a funny verse to get at the start of the year. And what I felt the Lord was teaching me or preparing me for was this whole thing of relationships. And I didn't realize that year was going to be the most turbulent year that we've ever had as a couple in terms of relationships. And that year was, that verse was right at the start, and I felt like the Holy Spirit was saying to me, pursue two-way relationships. Easier said than done. But I just felt Holy Spirit was just telling me, pursue, surround yourself with people where you can speak into their lives and they can speak back to you. Because there is nothing more frustrating than trying to counsel somebody or be a friend to somebody. And the moment you try to say something, it's a brick wall. But then they are very quick to speak to you and encourage you and discourage you and feel like they've got stuff to say. And I just felt Holy Spirit say to me, don't do that. Surround yourself with people where you can speak into their life and they can speak into you. And there's this teachability, there's this humility. So that was 2014. So we get to 2015. And again, I'm writing my list, my New Year's resolution, my verse for the year. And I get Psalm 1. Again, a really random one. Sitting in the seat of the wicked. But then there's the other part of the Psalm 1 that talks about a tree being planted along the riverbank that bears fruit in every season. And then I went to do a little bit of digging and I found out that at the time, now to many of you, this is probably not a revelation, but to me it was, that at that moment in time when that was written, there were a lot of deserts out there and the trees were not something that you would see every day. Especially not a tree that was full of fruit, and especially not a tree that was green in the middle of the desert. Now, this particular tree was planted by the river, and its roots went so deep that it was no longer dependent on the circumstances around it. It was no longer dependent on the weather. It wasn't dependent on the surface conditions. This tree was so deeply planted and so deeply rooted that it was bearing fruit in every season. And I just felt the Holy Spirit speak to me to be the kind of person that bears fruit in all seasons, regardless of the circumstances, and let my roots go deep. Now, that's so exciting until you start to dissect it and go, right, okay, what does that mean? Does that mean that there will be some situations and circumstances that are not going to be favorable? Does that mean that my 2015 is going to be a desert? What does that mean? What does that look like? And I felt this whole thing about being rooted and planted was the key. So I started digging and searching and looking. Where are we actually rooted into? What are we planted into? Where? How deep our roots go? And the more I read, the more I came to Galatians. The more I came to the idea of you once were and now you are, and this whole idea of freedom, and actually realizing that the only way I'm going to bear fruit and the only way we're going to bear fruit is if we are free. Now, I'm not one for catchy lines and I'm not one for tags and different things, and I know freedom has a lot of different connotations and meanings. But I want to take us right back to what the Bible says about freedom in the time I've had. Is that okay with everyone? So let me just read our mission and what I believe our mission as Christians is. And it says in Philippians 1, our goal is, may you always be bountiful in fruits for the soul, making Jesus attractive to everyone, getting everyone involved in the glory and praise of God. And I read this week, if our words are not backed by a godly life, they accumulate as poison in the soul. And again, I felt like a dagger thinking and how tired I am of just listening to people say a really good story, but then the life is saying something completely different. And the fear of God came upon me of thinking, I don't want my life to speak a different message than what I'm saying. I want the two to match. And those of you who are parents know there is no greater mirror in your world than your children. So we have three boys, age 8, 6, and 5, who are very, very brave and very communicative and very interesting. And there's always a question and there's always a discussion. And this particular time was an instance where my eldest son, Luca, was calling his brother, Micah, an idiot. Now, been to primary school, is year 4. You know, something that you hear at the playground, it's just a cool thing to say, you're an idiot, you're a moron. You know, and it's just a boy thing to say. But he was saying it so much that I stopped and I said, Luca, stop it. Now, not a very good thing to say to a boy, stop it, because they want an explanation of why do I need to stop and what's the alternative to calling my brother an idiot? So I said to him, stop it. I said, we are Christians in this house. And I said, we talk kindly to each other all the time. And that includes your brothers. To which then he turned to me and said, well, you're not kind to me. Because you're shout and you're a shouting Christian. So... so if you get to shout, I get to call him an idiot. And I, hello, a mirror. And I said, look, mum's not perfect. That's always a good one to pull out, isn't it? Mum's not perfect. Daddy winds me up. No. But it was a really good moment. Because I just felt sometimes we like that to each other. You know, a church in meetings, we get together and we go, oh, you need to be doing this and that. And then it comes back to us and we don't like it. How dare you say something to me and challenge me? You know, I'm here to talk to you because I'm higher than you and I'm further on than you. And but from the mouth of babes and children, I had another frightening moment. I'm just going to just let it all out this morning. I had another frightening moment. I remember when I grew up in Croatia, and I've got a younger brother, 18 months younger than me, who's completely opposite to me. He's extremely creative. He writes his own music. He just is he's incredibly creative and incredibly fun-loving and loves animals, which that gene definitely skipped me and went to him because we're scared of hares in that house, aren't we? Of any kind. But... I remember when we were little, and I remember mum and dad hanging out with their friends, and I always remember when we finished hanging out with them and got in the car, my mum would do the summary of the evening and our behaviour on the night. How many of you know that was really exciting? So she'd go, Yelena, I can't believe, and that's how she actually talks to me, Yelena, I can't believe. Christian always thinks we're arguing when I'm back home because Croatian language is like Russian. It's really aggressive. There's not many vowels in the language. It's a very consonant-based one, so it always sounds like we're about to punch each other, but we're not. It's just... how we communicate. And I remember my mum, and I remember the feeling in my stomach as a child of getting in that car and thinking, I know what's coming next. My mum is going to give me a lowdown of my behaviour and things that I hated it, absolutely hated it. Anyway, I completely forgot about it, as you can see. No scars left at all. And recently, we had somebody come over, and the moment they left, I said to my middle son, Micah, Up the stairs you go and go and get your jammers on. And normally he's a very compliant little boy, but he just stopped and went, Mummy, why are you always angry when people leave our house? And why do you always have to get my jammers on when they leave? And I just had this flashback to my mother in the car giving me a lowdown of my behaviour with somebody who was in the room and how I felt. And I just thought, I am my mum. And I love my mum to bits, but it was the most terrifying moment. And I just felt, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be that. I don't want to walk in that same pattern that she did. And that was the Holy Spirit bringing a massive mirror and a massive flashlight to me to say, that's got to change. That attitude has got to change. And you have an opportunity and a choice in that moment in time. And it's either to yield to the Spirit or to ignore it. Yield to the Spirit or ignore it. We had an amazing time this year with one of our heroes in faith. And I remember sitting down with him and just asking him questions and different things. And what's the secret? You know, all the questions that young people want to know. What's the secret of the anointing? What's the secret of the ministry? And you're sort of waiting there with your paper and pad thinking, you know, 10 different awesome bullet points are going to come out of this. Books will be written, you know. And then he just said this one thing. You yield to the Spirit. And I was waiting for something else to come after that. And he was, no. You yield to the Spirit every day. You wake up and the first thing that comes out of your mouth is not, can I have a cup of tea? It's, I yield to the Spirit today. Holy Spirit. You have my heart, you have my hands, you have my feet. I yield to you today. Amen. Right, well, let's jump into Galatians 5 because time is flying. Now, I'm going to read to you out of Passion Translation because it's just the best. If you haven't read it, I cannot encourage you enough to read it. It just brings things to a completely different... just puts light on stuff that you've heard loads of times, and it just gives you a different perspective. And let me read this to you. I'm going to read Galatians 5:1, and then I'm going to read Galatians 5:13. Now, Dave said it a little bit in the introduction about the context of Galatians, and it was the fact that they were a church who was so radically saved and so amazingly on fire for God, and believed that you're saved by faith in Jesus Christ. And then slowly, false teachers infiltrated the church like yeast, slowly, and started to spread whispers and rumors and different things about, well, actually, faith is not enough. You now need to do works as well. And gospel that preaches faith is not a complete gospel. You need to be saved by works as well. And Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross is not enough. You need all these extra things. And slowly, these Galatians were so captivated by this teaching that they started to slip away from the first love, slip away from the gospel. And it got to a point where Paul had to say to them, "Who has bewitched you?" Quite a strong term, meaning somebody was casting a spell over them. They were so bewitched by this teaching that they forgot their first love. So he brings them, he takes the whole epistle to bring them right back to what it's all about. So we find ourselves in Galatians 5. And he said, "Let me be clear. The Anointed One has set us free, not partially, but completely and wonderfully free. We must always cherish this truth and stubbornly refuse to go back into the bondage of our past." Now, this is an awesome truth for every single person that's in this room today, and that is that you are free. Now, whether we think it, feel it, whether we know it, or whether we kind of figuring about, this is the truth of the Word of God, that if Jesus Christ lives on the inside of you this morning, and if it's not, there's time to sort that out today. But if he does, you are completely free. Name it and you're free from it. That is the truth of what Jesus did on the cross. Now, the other part of the verse is, we must stubbornly refuse to go back into the bondage of our past. Now, I'm going to say this out just now, and it might be a little bit harsh and a little bit controversial. The only person that can put you in bondage is you. There is no demon on this earth, in hell, that can trap you this morning and put you in bondage. You have to give him permission. You have to agree with the enemy. You have to choose to make that choice. You have to choose to do that. And that's why we have to so vigilantly, so the Bible says, guard your heart, for out of it flow the issues of life. Guard your soul. Spend time looking after your inner world. Because stuff can be great on the outside, but inside you can be a mess. And Jesus said, what can you get in this world by getting everything that you can, all the wealth and the riches and friends, and then lose your soul, and then lose what it's all about? Now, other translation says, stand firm, don't move, be stationary, stay there, and keep staying there. And I just want to encourage you this morning, just say to yourself this morning, speak to yourself. Now, that's normally not a good advice to say to somebody. Today, I want you to just talk to yourself, because that would just be weird, especially if you're on public transport or you work in an office with non-Christians and you're like, what is that person doing? But you have to talk to yourself. You have to talk to yourself, and you have to say to yourself, I am completely free, and I choose today to stand in that and not move. Now, 5:13, and I don't have time this morning to go into the whole thing of, well, if I'm free, I can do this and I can do that, and what does that? Freedom is not license to sin. Oh, I can do whatever I want. It's brilliant. Well, don't listen to me. Listen to what God says about it. 5:13. Beloved ones, God has called us to live a life of freedom in the Holy Spirit. But don't view this wonderful freedom as an opportunity to set up a base of operations in the natural realm. Freedom means that we become so completely free of self-indulgence that we become servant of one another, expressing love in all we do. But if you continue to criticize and come against each other over minor issues, you are acting like wild beasts trying to destroy one another. So this freedom, this awesome freedom that we have been given, is now ours to use to serve others. Not a popular thought on a Tuesday morning. I'm free to serve others. Listen to this from 16th century. Martin Luther said, "A Christian is a perfectly free Lord of all, subject to none. A Christian is a perfectly dutiful servant, subject to all." And that's what a Christian vision of freedom is. It's not a license and liberty to do whatever I want. It is a gift that we give back to others. I'm free and I choose to lay my life down for you. Now, we don't do it to be seen, or I hope we don't. And we don't do it to be noticed. And we don't do it so we get a high five from people and a pat on the shoulder, because that is only temporary. I would rather wait and have a crown put on my head and hear the words, "Good and well done, good and faithful servant." Anyone with me on that? But it's hard because we have this innate desire to have to be approved by people, to be liked by people, for people to go, "Oh, you are so amazing." Sam's not here. I can't say "you are amazing" without thinking of Sam Ward. But you are amazing. But you need to hear that from Holy Spirit. And if it comes from your fellow co-workers, even better. But we don't live for that. Now, it is really hard to lay ourselves down, isn't it? Like, you read the Gospels and you get to that verse that Jesus was talking about when he said in Mark 8, "Self-sacrifice is the way to go." And you think, my way to saving yourself, your true self. And you think, "Oh, can I find another verse? Can I skip that?" Read it all, even the really hard bits. Just read it all. Let it change you. Because this freedom, when you really grasp the power of this freedom, it delivers you from following the desires that put you in a mess, that destroy relationships, that destroy communities, that destroy you. This, if you follow this freedom, it actually takes you on a higher path. You actually get on your destination from A to B. You actually see the promises of God come to pass in your life. And I know talking about change is not an easy thing. None of us like change. I'm not going to sing any songs on change. But I do have this funny story that I heard. And it was about a man who was always stroking and petting his cat, but always from the tail to the head. So he would do that. And somebody said to him, "Hey man, do you know that's really not the way to pet a cat? You should start from the head and work your way." And he goes, "Let the cat turn around then." And the point when this dude was like, "I'm not changing. If that's not the right way to do it, let the cat turn around." It doesn't make sense, does it? But it's this whole idea of, I'm not changing. My way is the right way. Somebody's heard that before. But let me just encourage you this. Let me just read this last bit just in a few minutes that I have. Have you ever been in a circumstance and situation where you criticize and come against one another over minor issues? Let's just pretend it's not for us, let's people over there. The number one sign that your soul is tired is when little things bug you. Somebody just left that again there. You know, me and Christian have this lovely conversation. I just know when he comes from work and it's when it's been a busy week, I just say, oh, joy, oh, joy. I'm off to the gym for an hour. I see you when I get back. No, we don't. I'm a loving and supportive wife who can't wait for him to get back from work. But is this idea when our soul is tired, everything's hard, everything's a chore. I can't make my mind up about anything. You know what? I don't care about the long-term goal. I just want it now. Who cares about delayed gratification? I want it now. Every little thing. And if that's you and you think, I'm just in that place today, your soul is tired. And guess who's the one person that can save your soul? Is Jesus. Come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest. Don't look for rest in any other place, but in Jesus. Don't be afraid to say to Jesus, Jesus, I am tired. One of my favorite songs has this line that says, when my hallelujah was tired, you gave me a new song. Don't be afraid to come to God and say, God, you know what? My soul is tired. You refresh me. Bring life to me. And I just pray that this freedom that I've only had a few minutes to talk about, I just pray that this morning you will get a fresh sense that you are completely free. That you will get a fresh sense that for freedom, Christ has set you free. You know what? It could have been any word in that verse. It could have been for love, Christ has set us free. It could have been for joy, Christ has set us free. And I wondered, often said to God, I said, what is the purpose of freedom? And I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, freedom. The purpose of freedom is freedom. Because if you're being told what to do, then you're not really free, are you? But the paradox, the Christian paradox is, you are free, but you choose what you do with that freedom. You choose how you live your life. You choose to lay your life down for others. You choose, and I know this is really hard if that person is really annoying you. And I know it's really hard if that person is in wrong and you're right. And they're really annoying and they're really wrong. But you know what? There's a Holy Spirit living on the inside of you that transcends all that. There's a Holy Spirit on the inside of you. There's a helper and a comforter. And I just want us to lift our hands to heaven just for a minute now. In the 2-3 minutes that I have. Lord, I just thank you for freedom over every single person that's in this room this morning. Thank you, Jesus, that for freedom you have set us free. Lord, thank you for chains being broken this morning. Lord, thank you for strongholds coming down in mindsets this morning. Lord, thank you for feelings of being unworthy, or feelings of being bound, or feelings of being inadequate. Lord, I thank you that those feelings will line up with your word this morning. Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit will permeate our souls this morning. Where there's been tiredness and fatigue, I pray that you will bring life. Where there's been lack of purpose and lack of vision, I just pray that you will breathe new life onto vision. Without vision, people perish. Lord, I thank you for anyone in here this morning who is perishing, who feels like their life is wasting away because they don't have a vision. Lord, I just pray that you will breathe fresh word onto people today. And Lord, I just feel that somebody in this room, and you are asking, all you've been asking God is how? How is this thing come to pass? How will it come to pass? Who's going to do it? How am I going to do it? And I just feel Holy Spirit is saying to you, you need to trust me. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And I am right now breathing a new vision into you. I'm breathing a new master plan over your life. I am breathing new words over you. And Lord, I just pray for anyone in here who has had prophetic words spoken over them in this year. Lord, I just pray that these words will come to pass. I pray that they will see a fruition of their prayers. I pray they will see supernatural release happening in their lives. Lord, I just pray for provision and protection for every single person here. Protection for every family that's represented here. Lord, we just thank you for the Message Trust. We thank you for Andy and Michelle, Lord. We thank you for this huge family. Lord, thank you for the awesome hearts they have. Lord, we just pray that you will protect its heart. That you will protect the core that's to reach the lost, that's to glorify you. Lord, I just lift the shield of faith over Message this morning for any fiery doubts that might come to disrupt and discourage. Lord, we just lift collectively a shield of faith over the Message Trust, over our lives, Lord. And we just thank you, and we thank you that you're a good, good Father. Regardless of what our Heavenly Fathers were and are, Lord, we thank you that you are a good Father. We pray that you will paint that picture over our minds this morning, that you are a good Father who gives perfect gifts. And Lord, we just pray for this week, for this day, for all the things that are ahead. Lord, we just pray that you will breathe your Holy Spirit. If the Lord doesn't build a house, the builders build in vain. And we just pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit, you will be in everything that we do. That if you, Holy Spirit, left the earth today, we would stop doing what we're doing because we would be lost without you. That we wouldn't just carry on as normal, Lord, that we'd know when your presence is with us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to check out message.org.uk to find out how you can support or even get involved with one of our teams.